The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can demons have saving faith? And in Jesus' parable of the four soils, which of the soils represent a person who is eternally saved? Hello, welcome. This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcasting ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Stay tuned for a great discussion right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. This is where you can find out more about our ministry and about our subscription-free magazine, also called Grace in Focus. Find out about regional conferences that may be coming to your area. That is at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right. Hi, Bob. We have a question today here from Charles of the Parable of the Sower. And I'll go ahead and read. He's actually concerned about the second soil. So I'll read that passage here from Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 13.
Okay.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. So Charles' question here is the second soil. He doesn't believe that these are saved individuals that are being talked about. And I guess he makes the point that first, the ground is stone, and second, that the word believe doesn't always refer to saving faith. And he refers to the devils believe and tremble, do they not?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And I think he also brings up about Philippians 1:6 that
he began
a good work.
Yeah, that's his third question. Doesn't the scripture teach that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it?
Okay, so Charles, let's take this into three segments. First of all, what evidence is there that the second soil is born again? Okay, look at Luke 8:11. He says, the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we know from verse 11 that if a person believes what the Lord is talking about here, they're saved. Now, you could hypothetically argue this is talking about some salvation other than salvation from eternal condemnation. Maybe you could argue this is salvation from Roman rule or salvation from physical death or salvation from illness or something. But that really doesn't make any sense. It makes the most sense that he's talking about being born again, having everlasting life, like John 3:17. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. It seems here that whoever believes is saved. Then the very next verse says, those on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while. So we're told they believe. Well, according to the previous verse, if you believe this saving word, you're saved. Now the next verse says they believe the saving word. Yeah. There's no option other than they were saved at that moment. Now you could argue they lost their salvation later because they later fell away. But you can't argue that they weren't saved because in the previous verse, it says whoever believes is saved. And we'll talk in a minute about demon faith and about Philippians 1:6. But in the very context, whoever believes is saved. And one of the things Charles doesn't point out is that in the third and the fourth soils, it doesn't even mention they believed.
Yeah.
The only soil it mentions is believed is the second soil.
So.
Charles is wrong when he says that this is a stone soil. If it were a stone soil, it wouldn't spring up. If you notice in the telling of the parable, go back up in the context and look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, notice the word sprang up. Springing up means something broke out of the ground, right?
Yeah.
And then the next verse, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it. I've underlined sprang up in verse 7, sprang up in verse 6, and sprang up in verse 8. All three soils, 2, 3, and 4, sprang up. That means the seed germinated.
Yeah.
So, Charles, what kind of life do they have if the seed germinated? If this isn't talking about spiritual life, what is this?
Yeah.
It's the new birth. It's everlasting life. Now, it is true, of course, that a person reading this or hearing this who was an unbeliever is not likely to be born again because it's difficult for them to understand what the salvation is here, and it's difficult to understand all of the ramifications of this parable if even people who are believers get confused, right?
Right.
John's gospel is evangelistic. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are not. So even though, theoretically, a person could be born again by an explanation of this passage, the person explaining it would have to be real clear. Because if Charles was explaining it, well, then he would be telling people believing in Jesus is not enough.
Right.
In order to be saved, you've got to have some kind of special faith, some kind of working faith, some kind of persevering faith, some kind of something.
Yeah.
And it would end up confusing people. Charles also talks about demons to show that all belief in Jesus is not saving.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that is James 2:19 is one of the verses that's used. The demons believe God is one. Well, that's monotheism.
Yeah.
That's not a statement of belief in the deity of Christ or belief in Jesus for eternal life.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. GESseminary.org.
James 2:19 is one of the verses that's used. The demons believe God is one. Well, that's monotheism.
Yeah.
That's not a statement of belief in the deity of Christ or belief in Jesus for eternal life. But we do know, for example, with the Gadarene demoniac, they say, "What do we have to do with you, O Son of God?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are Trinitarian.
Yeah.
And they're monotheists,
yeah.
And they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And in light of the parable of the four soils, if the devil snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved, don't you think, Mike, that suggests that the devil believes in eternal security?
Yeah, I think that's why he believes that people who believe get everlasting life. And so I think that's why he works so hard to confuse the saving message. He doesn't want us to believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life.
Right. So if demons and fallen angels are servants of Satan, don't you think they would believe the same thing?
Right. I think they do. Yeah.
So why isn't the devil saved if he believes this? And why aren't the demons and the fallen angels? Because Jesus didn't die for the devil. He died for human beings.
Yes. He died for the human world.
Right.
Yeah.
So if a human believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, meaning that he is the one who guarantees everlasting life to them, then they're born again. But if the devil believes that, or fallen angels believe that, that doesn't give them everlasting life, and they know it doesn't give them everlasting life. That's why the demons say, "If you come to torment us before the time."
Yeah.
They know they're going to be tormented. They know they lose in the end.
Yeah.
They know there's some fallen angels are already being held in chains in Tartarus, and they're already being tormented ahead of the time. And so it's important to recognize that there is no salvation for the devil or demons or fallen angels. And in terms of Charles's third point about Philippians 1:6, "And he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus," that verse is so much misunderstood, and we've discussed this before. You can check it out. You can find articles at faithalone.org on it. But the point is, the good work there is their fellowship in Paul's gospel ministry. Look at Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. They were financially supporting his gospel ministry, and that's the good work that God began in them. And he says God is going to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, guess what the day of Christ Jesus is? The judgment seat of Christ. Every use, I've got an article on the day of Christ and the day of Christ Jesus, the day of Jesus Christ. Those all refer to the time when believers will be judged by Christ to evaluate how we live this life, what we did with our time, talent, and treasure. And what is important to recognize is that what Paul is saying here Is there financial support of his ministry when he was ministering in various churches is going to have an ongoing impact all the way to the judgment seat of Christ? In other words, they're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for their good work they did in him, supporting him. And in fact, the letter to the Philippians is basically Paul's thank you letter. And in Philippians 4, 17 to 19, he says, it's not that I'm seeking the gift from you, not that I'm seeking more support from you. I want that which accrues to your account. Mm-hmm. We all have what a friend of mine, John Yantis, likes to call an eternal, what's he called, an ERA, retirement account.
Yeah, I like that.
And he says that we're laying up treasure in heaven every time we do a good work or say something right or give. As long as our motives are right, we're laying up treasure in heaven. Yeah. Also, by the way, I forgot to mention this earlier. In terms of the rocky ground, we shouldn't think of a rock with seeds on top of it. What we should think is dirt with a layer of rock maybe 4 or 5 inches below the soil where the plow didn't get down deep enough. Yeah. And as a result, that's why it springs up. It springs up because there is dirt, there is soil, there is water, there is sunlight. Yeah. And so it springs up, but the roots hit the rock layer. And when it does, it causes the plant to wither and to die because it lacks depth of root. It needs a stronger root system.
It had life, but it didn't have the roots to bring it to full maturity.
That's right.
I guess in also that second soul, they received the word with joy. I mean, that tells you what they believe. Why have joy if you don't know that you have everlasting life or that, I better make sure my works continue on, otherwise I won't have it. That's nothing to be joyful about.
In fact, that's a good point, Mike. If you look at receiving with joy or receiving the word, just look at receiving the word in Luke and Acts, the two books that Luke wrote, it's always referring to believing it. So this isn't something lesser like Charles is implying. So I would encourage you, Charles, to pray about this, because ultimately what Charles is suggesting means that Charles himself can't be sure that he's born again because he doesn't know if he's going to persevere. He doesn't know if he's going to be this good soil. Now, it's interesting you point out he's got a hybrid view because he says soil 3 is also born again,
right,
even though it fails to bring forth mature fruit, which, hey, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I'm glad you see that, Charles. But you should see the second soil is born again, too.
Sounds good. Well, appreciate that, Bob. And let's remember to
keep grace
in focus.
Focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, why isn't faith a decision? And can you marry after adultery? Please join us again. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.